We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, Knicks fans? GMAC here with a quick programming note. Earlier today, around noon on Friday, February 3rd, John and I sat down to record our weekly Patreon podcast. We reacted to the All-Star snubs and what the rosters look like and some of the egregious people that were left off of the All-Star rosters this year. We even did a draft of a Team LeBron and a Team Giannis and went 1 through 12 with the both of us selecting who our personal All-Star teams would look like. We looked at the rest of the NBA and the playoff picture and the MVP race and how wide open the league is. And at one point, we ironically even collectively said, I think that sentence made sense. We both said, if we're to pick a stable situation, the most stable bet to win the title this year, we both looked at each other and said Brooklyn. We said the peak version of Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie healthy would probably be the safest bet. And then an hour went by after we got done recording. I was about to hit submit on that episode and Kyrie Irving requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. So with all of that happening and shaking up the NBA world, we have an emergency podcast, and it will be the thing you're about to watch is our Patreon preview for this week. So if you want to hear that other episode, which is still great and still useful, you can go ahead and check that out. Patreon.com/Knicks Film School. You get access to that as well as an extra KFS podcast covering the NBA at large every week. You also get access to our playback watch parties, which we do at least once a week. You also get access to the KFS Discord, in which we have very civil conversations about the NBA, unless we're laughing at other teams' expenses. And without further ado, here is our reaction to the Kyrie Irving trade request, what it means for little brother across the river, and what it means to the NBA trade landscape with 6 days until the trade deadline. Enjoy.
Hey there, patrons. Now we can laugh. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I can't breathe. It's so funny. John, I got to say something.
Say whatever you want.
So, there is like a level of realness that I apply to some of the bits that we have. Like, I do like enjoy laughing at the Miami Heat. I recognize Heat culture has more respect than I show it. Like, there is some of, and the Oscar goes to in my performance when I'm talking about the Heat. Nothing, and I mean nothing, makes me happier than laughing at this bought culture over in Brooklyn. That yes, when they play the Knicks and it's KD and Kyrie, it's you know, clearly they have a better team, a better roster, and we're ways to go. But the fact that they did Jason Terry, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce trade and rebuilt the Celtics, and then somehow were able to get KD and Kyrie because they went 41-41 once. And what it's become since then is it's incredible to watch what's happened.
But that's not why we know that's not why they got them. They got them because they went to the place they knew that the inmates could run the asylum. Mm-hmm. And if as a franchise, you ask yourself, why would you let the inmates run the asylum? I mean, do you consider us intelligent, somewhat intelligent observers of the sport of basketball? Okay. Let's see. 2 hours ago, I sat in front of this microphone and I looked at the Brooklyn Nets, same Brooklyn Nets that you looked at. You know, we were both like, you know what? Maybe they're the title favorites.
Yeah.
That's why you give the keys over, because that's the ceiling. And when it works and it's going good, it's fucking great. And everybody's there. It's all smiles and candy canes and gumdrops. But this is the risk you run. And, you know, every NBA star is built differently. And this guy is just built a different type of way. And look, like, it's weird because, like, I think I've shared my feelings on Kyrie Irving.
Same.
pretty clearly. It's not my cup of tea. If you are a person who looks at how he goes about his business, I'm leaving the video that he shared and all of that aside. I am just talking about the way in which he attempts to take ownership of his career, which today meant requesting a trade from the Brooklyn Nets because he didn't get a contract extension that he wanted. If you're someone that looks at that and admires that, I'm not going to begrudge you, because I think, like, I'm all for player empowerment, but, like, I'm trying to search for the words here, and maybe there are no words. Maybe it's like, hey, look, he wants what he wants, and if he doesn't get what he wants, he's going to try to get it any way he knows how. And, like, maybe we're not used to that. Like, we're not used to a guy on a team that is, like, in the middle of a race for the title to just be like, all right, I want to leave now because you're not giving me as many years and as many dollars as I want. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing wrong with that, but, like, that is what they got. They got a guy who wants to run his career like that. And they knew that. They knew that when they got him. So one thing the Nets can't sit here and do now is say, woe is me, which is why we're not sitting here and laughing at Kyrie. We are laughing at the Nets, because this is their bed that they made. No one forced them to make it. You know,
I think you just nailed it. It's less about player empowerment, because I think I'm always going to be pro labor, like pro player.
Yeah, I think most people are.
And as a result, you're right. This is the bed that the Nets made for themselves. This is the version of the NBA that they decided to enter into in the summer of 2019, because the acquisitions of KD and Kyrie through free agency were then followed by the firing of Kenny Atkinson, which were followed by the hiring of Steve Nash, the coach they apparently picked over assistant coach Jacques Vaughn, who coached them through the bubble, which was then followed by the trade for James Harden, which was then followed by the trade for Ben Simmons, which was then followed by a KD demand for a trade, which was, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's less stability in player empowerment. But as we said an hour ago, looking at each other on camera, the highest high of this is that I thought they could probably win a title if KD comes back healthy, as is, you know?
And the one other part of it, and as many smart people who cover the league have pointed out, including a few New York beat writers, there is a downside to this for Kyrie Irving, because other teams are not as willing to turn over the keys to the person who can take the train off the tracks, mm-hmm. or in conjunction with that, like, they want to know that whoever they're bringing into their organization is not going to torpedo their organization from within. So in trying to empower himself and get what he wants, he is, in a sense, devaluing himself. And I think how this situation plays out is going to be the ultimate test of, like, and again, all it takes is one. You know, and sure enough, as you were just saying what you were saying, Mark Stein tweeted out, the Lakers and Mavericks are among the teams Brooklyn is expected to engage in Kyrie Irving trade talks as next Thursday's trade deadline approaches. I wouldn't be surprised if another team or two emerge. We could talk about some possible fake Kyrie trades real quick. But like, you know, is someone going to say, you know what, okay, we'll be the next team to take the chance? Or is he damaging his own market to the point where no team is going to want to do that? Or maybe the teams that are able to do it are not going to want to do it. I'm fascinated to see how this plays out on the Kyrie side of it. Who's willing to take a chance on him? I'm more fascinated, I think, to see how this plays out on the Nets side. Because again, we had these conversations this summer. What do you do if you're Sean Marks? You have Kevin Durant playing at an MVP level when he's been healthy this year. You clearly have a good team, but part of that team is Kyrie Irving. So, like, I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about fake trades, but I thought of a few. But like, I'm just fascinated because they're not going to like trade him for draft picks,
right?
I'm not saying there's going to be a team that's willing to, other than the Lakers, the obvious one, but like, I don't know. I really don't know what they do.
So there's two elements I just want to mention before we get into some fake trades. First of all, you just hit it. This legit changes everything for what the next week is going to look like for me.
Oh my God.
Now, and another team has entered into the chat of potentially blowing it up. Cause there was some rumor. I don't know how credible these rumors were, but like, the Ben Simmons stuff and like, oh, maybe I don't think they can trade Ben Simmons, but this clearly hasn't gone well. And no. Maybe the Nets now with this trade demand, and we know Kevin Durant came into the season with a trade demand on hold. You know, who knows what they decide to do with Kevin Durant now. Maybe he is back on the market. And then the Nets, like, they have other pieces if they want to go full rebuild. And then for a minute, it looked like it was just going to be Anunoby was the clear person to move. Now, like, you add the Nets as a component to all of this. Do the Bulls decide to get involved in all of this? And this is where, and this is the other element that I hinted at it in the parody that the league has created and how like the entire Western Conference is like separated by three games. There are so many opportunities, whether it be the Clippers, whether it be the Heat, whether it be the Lakers, whether it be the Warriors, of teams that we think if they make one move, they've launch themselves into contention status. And now there are one and potentially two players that could become available where that's a given that if you add Kyrie to one of these teams or especially Kevin Durant to one of these teams, their title chances change. And that's what makes the next week even more fascinating.
For over 30 years, the law offices of Weiss and Rosenblum in New York City has been home to a team of award-winning, hard-hitting injury attorneys who have a long track record of seven-figure results. Whether you've been injured in a car accident, fall, construction accident, or other traumatic event, Weiss and Rosenblum will work tirelessly to maximize the award regardless of the severity of your injury and get you and your family the fair and just compensation you deserve. Call Weiss and Rosenblum today at 212-366-6100. Again, that's 212-366-6100 or visit weissandrosenblum.com for more information. No case is too big or too small. Personal attention to your matter is a priority. Once more, call 212-366-6100. Previous results do not guarantee future outcomes. If you think you might have a case, speak with a veteran attorney, not a rookie.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's start with the Lakers because I don't know where else we could start, because I think they have two things going for them. One, obviously LeBron, there's a relationship there. He's maybe the one player in the league who if LeBron's on your team, you feel comfortable bringing Kyrie to your team. Mm-hmm. And two, they're desperate and they also have the means to do this. They have Russell Westbrook. They have those two draft picks. Now, unless, as you suggest, the Nets are willing to want to blow it up, I don't think the Nets are going to be interested in those draft picks. And frankly, at this point, I would be unless Durant requested a trade also, I would be shocked if the Nets went that route. Even if their hand is forced, I'm not sure if they would go that route. So I'm assuming the Nets are still going to try to win the championship this year. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook does not help them do that. So then you start thinking about, okay, well, is there a third team in the NBA that would take on Russell Westbrook that would want those two draft picks for taking on Russell Westbrook, and that has a player that is good enough that they could send that player to Brooklyn to replace Kyrie Irving? And just looking up and down the standings, I don't think there's a ton of options. I mean, Chicago is certainly a team.
That's the one I was thinking.
I don't know if it's DeRozan. I don't know if it's LaVine, but one of them, you would think. But again, if you're Chicago, that means that you are, well, it doesn't mean you're tanking necessarily. I mean, Russell Westbrook plus whichever one of those guys stayed plus, you know, whatever else they have. I mean, you know, that team would still make the play in. Maybe the Chicago Bulls want to make the play in. I think there's an interesting Toronto discussion. Mm-hmm. Toronto has a lot of pieces where like those could probably play with Kevin Durant pretty easily, like Fred VanVleet and Gary. I mean, you're not getting VanVleet. The Nets would probably have to throw in something in addition to the two Lakers picks to get VanVleet and like Ananobi. Obviously, the Nets would need to throw in something extra. I don't even know if they have enough extra to throw in. They probably don't. So maybe not that, but like VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr., you know, for instance. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe there's something there. And then after that, is there another team that is obvious to you that would be willing to kind of, that has talent that would be willing to send Brooklyn's way? I don't like Utah. I don't like Utah's. I think Chris Haynes reported earlier today that Utah and the Lakers have had more discussions about Russell Westbrook because apparently those discussions will never end, but like they're not letting go of Markkanen. They're not letting go of Kessler. Not that Kessler makes sense in Brooklyn, but like if Markkanen's not on the table, I don't know that Utah has enough that Brooklyn would feel like, yeah, if we get the best of what Utah has offer, you know, that puts mm-hmm. us back to where we need to be. I don't know. I don't know if there's another team.
The key word you said there is talent. So
you have to replace Kyrie's talent. Like you need
right.
a second big time. That's why my mind went to VanVleet or one of the Bulls guys, because at least those guys are like they're not Kyrie Irving level good, but they're good.
You have to figure out the salaries, but Chicago's the one I thought of if you're going to go three team route. And it's DeRozan goes to the Nets. Russ and his expiring contract goes to Chicago. They shut down LaVine. They are currently have the eighth best odds for the lottery. So they pivot to the Wembanyama sweepstakes. So this way, their pick that is top four protected has a chance. Maybe not to get to the top four, but you strengthen your odds as a result.
I mean, DeRozan and Caruso on Brooklyn. That's not bad. I don't know. It's take them out of the contender status. I'd personally rather have, if I was Brooklyn, I'd rather have DeRozan than LaVine. That's just me. Maybe that's it in terms of that type of trade construction, because I don't think Brooklyn's going to be interested in the two draft picks.
So again, olive branch to Heat culture, which I will acknowledge for this pod and this pod alone, is a thing that is successful.
I was going to bring up the Heat too, but for a different reason. Keep going.
So as a result of Heat, I'm getting people telling me that the laughing at the Heat yesterday is going to backfire on me now, because now they're going to trade for Kyrie. And it's like, other than Lowry and all the picks, what can they offer?
So I think, but that's what they could offer.
Why would Lowry, the Knicks do that? We watched Kyle Lowry.
I agree with you. I think
NBA scouts have watched Kyle Lowry.
I agree. That was one of the first thoughts I had when I was looking up and down the standings, and I was like, oh, the Heat would take the chance on Kyrie Irving. But yeah, I think Lowry's too far gone. So I don't think the Nets do that. And I don't know what else the Nets or the Heat can throw in, because here, even if they were willing to throw in Tyler Herro, which I that's an interesting thought experiment. Would the Heat do Tyler Herro and Kyle Lowry for Kyrie Irving? I don't think they would. Even with no draft picks.
Yeah, I was going to say the draft picks would then still. So, okay. Lowry.
They can't do it anyway, because it's the poison pill completely
right.
Blows that
it's
out.
It's the same RJ argument. It's why the Warriors Jordan Poole conversation.
It's harder. It's actually harder.
Okay.
Because Herro makes. Because Barrett's salary this year is actually pretty high for a rookie contract guy, because he was the third pick. It's $10 million. Herro's is like, I don't know what it is, $4 or $5 million. So and he makes more than Barrett too. So there's even a wider gap. Anyway, so we could leave that one there.
So just real quick, Kyle Lowry, to people saying that again, that got brought to my doorstep when the announcement that the trade request was happening. Like, oh, you may rue this day that you laughed at the Heat yesterday. Derrick Rose versus Kyle Lowry. What's the difference if you take out the contract? Is there one? Is my question.
I mean, I haven't watched. Again, I watch the Heat as much as I watch any non-Knicks NBA team. I don't see a huge difference.
So that's my point. So would the Knicks be able, if Derrick Rose was making $30 million this year, to go Derrick Rose and picks for Kyrie Irving in a hypothetical world that the Knicks aren't New York and Brooklyn isn't Brooklyn?
Yeah, but the Nets aren't where the Heat are at. I think that the Heat could talk themselves into that they're a Kyrie Irving away from.
I'm not looking at this from the Heat perspective. I'm looking at it from the Nets perspective. Would they trade Kyrie for Derrick Rose?
They wouldn't. No, they
that's
wouldn't.
My point. Okay. So then why would they trade
Kyle Lowry
and three first? This is for the audience, the people that now want to laugh at me for laughing at the Heat, even though I would rather laugh at both the Heat and the Nets. Anyway, go ahead.
Couple more teams. And I'll save what I think is the best for last. The Clippers, again, the Clippers need, it's been reported widely that they need a point guard. Van Fleet has been the name that has been mentioned that they're trying to go after. The Clippers can trade their 2028 or 2030, 29 pick. A distant pick. The Heat could trade a distant pick. Not the Heat, the Clippers, excuse me.
The Clippers can trade everything but 2025, right?
But they would need to amend protections on a Thunder pick that has, neither here nor there.
Yeah.
The Clippers. So the Clippers have salaries and they have a draft pick that they could go toss to sweeten the pot. I don't know if the best talent package that the Clippers could put together would be enough for the Nets, and I have to think if you're the Nets, you're going to want Terrence Mann, because that's the hot name. That's every time the Clippers get brought up, every person is like, well, team's going to want Terrence Mann, and the Clippers aren't going to want to give up Terrence Mann because Terrence Mann is really good. And he's also, his extension doesn't start until next year. It's a really, really good extension number. He's signed for 2 years, $10 million a year, or $11 million a year, excuse me, for the 2 years after this one. Right now he's making 1.9. So, but it would also be a little complicated because then because Mann doesn't make that much, you're talking about compiling two other big salaries. You know, I don't think the Nets have any interest in Norm Powell's giant extension. So you're talking about, is it like a Luke Kennard and a Robert Covington and a, like, and all of a sudden you're just like, no. So I don't think they have the goods. I think they'd be interested, but I don't think they have the goods. I don't think there's enough there to get a deal down. Second to last team, Dallas.
I'm curious what this other last team's going to be.
Well, they're the other team that Stein and Stein's.
Yeah, no, Dallas. I thought it was going to be the best for last.
Dallas might be the best, but I have another. It's more of like a challenge trade. Who says no? As my last one. So Dallas. So I should also probably pull up Kyrie Irving's contract number because the other complicated thing here
is 36.9.
36.9, but there's a 15% trade kicker. And as Bobby Marks just tweeted out a little while ago, Irving can waive the trade kicker, but if he waives the trade kicker, then he is not eligible to extend with the team that trades for him. Mm. He could only extend with the team that trades for him if he if the trade kicker goes through. And it's, again, it's 15%, so that would be, what, $5 million or so. So that takes his incoming salary up to 40. So that's a big number. Now, the most he could extend for with his new team is 2 years. Part of me thinks that Kyrie thinks that if he gets traded, he's like, well, no, I'm not extending for 2 years. I'm just going to, the team that gets me is going to get my bird rights, and then I'm going to sign a 5-year max. And I could see him thinking that, or at the very least a 4-year close to max, or some bigger number than just 2 years. Who knows? But I guess that's neither here nor there. I guess my point is that when we do the numbers, we should at least potentially factor in the trade bonus. So Dallas is interesting because Dallas has Spencer Dinwiddie, who obviously has a history with the Nets, plays the same position as Kyrie Irving. He's good. Like, Dinwiddie's good. He's had a good year. One more year left on his contract. They also have Christian Wood, who is a very talented player whose name has been in trade rumors. Not rumors, but like, there's been a lot of rumblings recently about how if they can't extend Wood, they're going to trade Wood. As far as the money goes, Dinwiddie and Christian Wood get you there as a 2-for-1. Now,
27 and 29.
What about 27 and 29?
Those are the two picks they'll throw in.
See, I don't think Dallas is throwing in picks.
Oh,
maybe okay. One pick.
So 27 or 29.
Well, they don't have to specify the year. They could just say the first pick will convey 2 years after the obligation to the New York Knicks is satisfied.
So, okay. That's what I'm hinting at, is that they can't do anything until 2026.
Well, after
2026.
If the pick conveys this year as a 2023 pick, then it could be the 2025 pick.
I'm talking specifically in this trade, they can't, because the pick would not have conveyed until after the season, right?
You can put the language that the pick, if these two teams consummated a trade, the language can be Dallas will convey its unprotected first round draft pick, its next available first round draft pick that will convey 2 years after.
Yeah,
so it can be 2025. Gotcha. Okay. Christian Wood is a fascinating player because do you have to play him at the five for it to be functional? Can you play him at the four? Can you play him at the four? Does it matter? Is that a way that you get the most out of Ben Simmons? Can you play him next to Nick Claxton? Like, I don't know the answers to these questions. I haven't thought about it for long enough. But like, from a talent perspective, like, Christian was good. Spencer Dinwiddie replaces Kyrie Irving. He's good. And we've also heard them dangle Dorian Finney-Smith. Now, the Nets have a lot. Well, Dorian Finney-Smith's a really good player, but like, the Nets have guys that could hit threes and could play defense. I don't know if they have anybody quite as good as Dorian Finney-Smith. The Mavs could get something done. I'm fascinated, just like we talked about a minute ago, I'm fascinated by the Nets. I'm fascinated by the Mavs because we talked about this in recent weeks. They got to do something.
Yeah.
And they're starting to stare down the barrel of the gun, and they're looking at who down the barrel of that gun? Zach LaVine as the Hail Mary? I don't know, man. If I was them, and if I could get Kyrie, and I'm not maybe not giving up a whole lot in terms of draft equity on top of the players I'm giving up, that's just, I could see that happening.
Look, they're one of the teams. They're absolutely one of the teams. Fourth best record in the West right now. And if you then get Kyrie, that there's your 1-4 matchup I was telling you about with the Nuggets, that if they go into it, do you get Luka and Kyrie, or do you take Jokic and what they've built in Denver?
And at the same time, if you're the Mavs, and this is where all the behind the scenes shit factors in, if you're getting vibes like, yeah, Kyrie's going to go to LA. Like, Kyrie wants to go to the Lakers. That's where he's going to go. He's not going to re-sign with you. He's going to go to the Lakers. Like, do you, like that, that would now mean that twice you've cashed in chips on things that maybe you're not worth cashing in chips for between Porzingis and this. So,
but my do you look at it from the perspective of what next season and beyond, or do you look at it from the perspective like Masai did with Kawhi, where it's like, we'll roll the dice and try to win
it? That's a good question. I think that factors into their thinking. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how they're thinking about it. Do they think they could win a title this year with if they add Kyrie to Luka and like this core? I don't know.
You just did an entire hour about how wide open the West is.
Yeah, but I don't know about that.
Team that made the Western Conference Finals with Jalen Brunson as the second best guy now, granted, that was Jalen Brunson plus Dinwiddie. So you're now just swapping Christian Wood for Jalen Brunson in this sense. And in this scenario, you're swapping Dinwiddie and Wood for Kyrie Irving. I don't know. I'd give him a shot. Like, I'm not going to say Luka and Kyrie can't win three rounds in the West. It's when they get to the finals that I have no idea how they're beating any of the monsters out East,
There's another team I'll mention. This would be funny. Because these players... No, they didn't get traded for one another. Oh, that's right. They were teammates for a year. D'Angelo Russell. Oh, wait. No, they weren't teammates.
No, they weren't teammates. They were...
Dinwiddie and Kyrie were teammates.
Technically not traded for each other, but no. They did swap teams on the
swap
same
places,
day.
Basically. The salary works for Russell. The Wolves would do that in a heartbeat. Russell for Kyrie. I don't think that would satisfy the Nets. What else would
homecoming?
Yeah. Right. What else would Minnesota have to give? I don't know if Minnesota has enough left to give to make that worth it for Brooklyn. So you want to hear my last best team?
It better not be the Knicks. Is all I'm going to say.
God no.
Okay. Good. Then yes. Keep going.
You don't want to guess?
Well, hold on. So it's not Boston.
Not Boston.
I won't go through the whole list. It's not Memphis.
No.
It obviously can't be Cleveland. Can't be. Is it Golden State?
No. No. Who the fuck, kidding me?
I was wondering what this last team could possibly be. Is it Phoenix?
Yes.
For Chris Paul. Okay. Yes. Wow.
So who says no? Chris Paul is making $28.4 million this year. Making 30.8 next year, and then the year after that, I think it's maybe a 50% guarantee on a $30.8 million contract.
I think Brooklyn says no, by the way.
Okay, why?
Because Chris Paul's better than Kyle Lowry and Derrick Rose, but we've seen the physical and offensive decline. And while you are able to lock him and Kevin Durant together for the next couple of years, and maybe you're just other pieces away to building a better team, I think you're sealing this season of just Kyrie, like, go to hell. Well, you're on our team. We'll try to win a championship this year is a better option.
What about if you add Jay Crowder to that? Does it make a difference to you?
Not to me, but I don't know what Brooklyn's factoring. Like, Jay Crowder wasn't great in the playoffs last year. Like, that's why the Suns didn't extend him. That's why they were going to put Cam Johnson as a starting four. If you're throwing Bridges in there, then that's different. Like, because then that's a younger piece you can build around.
No.
I just, Chris, like, the we're on the right track with the DeRozan, the big salary going back or multiple salaries going back to replace Kyrie. It has to be factored in what you just said about the Lakers, that if he's giving the hint that like I'm going to the Lakers next year, I'm not going to re-sign with the team, then essentially if you're the Suns, you've traded for Kyrie, you've got out from under Chris Paul, but like you, it's basically a rebuild at that point, you know?
I don't know, man. The Suns have a new owner. Guy's gonna. It's been said already. He wants to make a splash.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're pairing Kyrie with Devin Booker, and like it's way more on your timeline. Closer to Ayton. Closer to Cam Johnson. Closer to Mikal Bridges. It's closer to all those guys. Like if you can get. If you could maybe get like another piece from the Nets, I don't know if the, I think the Nets would be the ones asking probably for like a pick there, but like, and if you're the Nets, yeah, I know Chris Paul is like looked old this year, but like, if you're thinking, what is my, if the Nets survey the landscape and they're like, what is my best chance to win a title this year? I agree. Like the DeRozan, like DeRozan probably gives you a better chance to win a title this year than Chris Paul, but I don't know. DeRozan may not be available. You know,
which Chicago may that, not, there's the other element that the other this to me is the best and last scenario for me with Kyrie, and it's that he goes to Brooklyn. Like, do this, look him right in the face like you did Durant. Like, yeah. Okay, tank your value, sit out the rest of the season, or raise your value, help us win a title.
Yeah, that is the thing that probably breaks my brain the most. What happens if they look at him and be like, yeah, we can't find anything.
Yeah.
You're going to stay here and you can do what you want.
Now look, maybe he decides to sit out and the Lakers will give him a blank check anyway. And that's why they'll just kind of ride out this year with whatever the ceiling is with LeBron and AD and whatever that gets you. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie, out of spite, is like, all right, I demanded a trade. They didn't do it. KD's my guy. When we were on the court together, we looked unstoppable for that stretch. I'm like, let's go try and win a title. The league seems kind of wide open. Again, we are an hour removed, like a 2 hour removed, John.
I know.
Both of us saying that might be the best bet right now. I'm also 24 hours removed, a little behind the scenes. I cashed in a Brooklyn future to win the East at plus 550 because of how the Celtics game went the other night. Now, look, it was more of a, you know what? I could actually use this toward a different parlay that I have more faith in. And so like I put in $10 and I left with about 17. Oh, and nice. So like I was able to make a profit off of it, even though the money would have been a lot more. But then this happens. Those odds are gone.
Yeah.
You know, like I would have lost. Like, that's my point, is the stability of the Nets. And that is, I think, the best place to wrap up. This thing going in was a laugh at the Knicks, but there were question marks around KD's ankle and Kyrie's Kyrie-ness, you know, over in Boston. And what it's now become is, at its ceiling, a shoe size away potentially from a title, and at its floor, one of the most spontaneously combustible thing that I've ever seen in the NBA, where it's like, oh, this team was like the smallest of margins away from winning a title with those three, to, oh, this is like the least stable situation in the NBA. The difference in margins is so crazy. This is the book that Sullivan should have wrote.
And I was about to say
sequel to it.
Jesus. He wrote that a few maybe for the sequel. All right. This was fun. I got to run, but I'm glad we did this.
Me too.
Patrons,
thank you to the Nets for the content.
Yes. Thank you for the Nets comment. Thank you, patrons, for being patrons for being patrons.
Patrons, yes.
Hope you enjoyed the bonus episode, and we will talk to you soon. Peace out.
Also, while John gets out of here, I'm just gonna say to the patrons, like, thank you for the support. I had so, like, the way I found out about this, I was editing the pod we were doing, and I just quickly, while I had like a minute of exporting time, looked at my mentions and I saw people being like, it's time to get the laughed out video. And I was like, oh, did some like, I guess people watch the Nets from the this is about the Heat, right? And then I saw the Shams tweet. I was like, oh man, it's time. And we're going to take 10 seconds at this point, 10 minutes at this point, to laugh at the Brooklyn Nets. Thank you, everybody, for understanding the assignment.